Look at the picture that's on the screen. There's a big rock that's there. Wonder what that's all about. Thus far, the Lord has helped us, and yet there's a big stone that's there. What on earth is that all about? Well, you'll not know for a few minutes. Let me introduce this lesson by saying that God's people oftentimes use stones. In the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 28, there is that time in the life of Jacob where he's running away from home because he's afraid his brother is about to kill him. And so he's concerned about all that is transpiring there, and he's headed to a foreign land. He's all by himself. And during that night of his sojourn, as he's going away trying to get over to his uncle's house, his uncle was Laban, trying to get over to Laban's house, he stops at a place that he names Bethel. And there he has a dream of a ladder that reaches from earth to heaven. And you'll not understand that ladder until you read chapter 1, where the Bible talks about the Son of Man, the angels ascending and descending upon Him. But he sees this ladder, and there are angels that are coming up and down on that ladder that reached from earth to heaven. And when he woke up, having had that dream, he takes one of the stones that had been his pillow, and he names that place Bethel and puts a stone there. That's weird, isn't it? It's not the only time the Jewish people place stones. Jacob did it later. Actually, it was he and Laban that did that. And that story is in Genesis chapter 32. It's not our purpose to spend a lot of time looking at these stories. But he and Laban had had some disagreement and had to separate. And now Jacob is headed back to his homeland. He's carried his wives, the daughters of Laban, with him. And he's headed back to the land from which he had fled. And he arrives at a place that is called Mizpah. And there he and Laban come to an agreement that they will not have any conflict anymore. And so at Mizpah, they put a stone there. And there's the name of that place that is given. Mizpah is the one name for it. Another name was the name that Jacob gave, and that is Galeed. And the other one is that Chaldean name, and that was the language of Laban, and he gives it a third name. And two of those names has the concept of watching, and the other has the concept of a heap of stones. But here was the idea. We're going to make an agreement, and we will ask God to stand at this place to see that he watches Laban and what Laban is doing, and see that he watches Jacob and what they're doing, so that we'll never have this conflict. This stone becomes a boundary, as it were. But they put that stone there to keep them separated and put a marker there as a help for them to understand what was transpiring. That may be something you're not even aware of. But it does illustrate the very point we're trying to make, and that is God's people have often erected stones. In the scripture reading from Joshua chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. In fact, it's the entire chapter, and so on the screen, we've got verses later in this chapter, where as the Jews entered the promised land, that Jordan River has been stopped, as it were, and they're able to walk through on the dry ground to get to the other side. And when they get to the other side, the priests are still standing in the middle of the Jordan River. And while that river is open, they go back into that river, and they pick up 12 stones, one for each of the tribes. And when they get to the other side, they build a monument of stones. The Jews often built monuments of stones. And the reason for that was, when your children ask about this, just like every time that Jacob went by that place called Bethel, he would have a remembrance that he'd been in the very presence of God and had seen this very place that he describes as the house of God, the name Bethel, and leads that remembrance to his mind. So you've got that kind of situation that he's developed. The same thing whenever Laban, if he ever approached the land where Jacob might have been, or Jacob ever went back to a place called Mizpah, where they'd asked the Lord to watch on both sides and make sure they'd kept the pact that they'd made. So now they have this stone that the Jews have. But there's another stone in the Bible, and that's the one we want to talk about in the introductory part of this lesson. And that is the stone that is called Ebenezer. Ever heard that word? Ebenezer? The song, "O Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Do you know the second part, the second verse of that song? The second verse of that song says, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. I raise my Ebenezer." I want us to talk about raising Ebenezers this morning. But what's that all about? Well, you've got to read those early chapters of 1 Samuel, and there are some tragic things that's happened. There is the fact that that the Ark of the Covenant has been taken captive by the Philistines. And they've taken that Ark of the Covenant and taken it back and put it in the temple of their gods. We now have the trophy that the Jews prize the most, for it has within it the Ten Commandments. And we have that. We're going to put it and honor our god Dagon. God, by the way, causes that statue of Dagon to fall, and when it fell the second time, the hands and the feet of that god Dagon were broken off. That god's not going to help you in the presence of God. But whenever the word of that, of the fact the Ark of the Covenant had been taken, they go back and they tell Eli and the high priest, whenever he hears whenever he hears two messages, one, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, those who may be the next priest standing in the place that Eli, they've both been killed. And whenever they say the Ark of the Covenant has been taken, Eli is filled with such trauma that he falls over and breaks his neck and dies. And now here's young Samuel. Now the Philistine, because of the trouble they'd had with Dagon, they bring the Ark of the Covenant back to God's people. They freely bring that Ark of the Covenant. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 7 that Samuel says to the people, "You people are guilty of sin." And so what they assemble at a place that will be called Ebenezer. And when they assemble at that place to rejoice before God at the things that had transpired and to acknowledge their sin, the Philistines come down and attack them. And there's a battle that happens right then and at that time, that for the rest of the life of Samuel, the Philistines are no problems. They've been a problem for the Jews for almost from the time they entered the promised land. And there Samuel raises up a stone, and he calls the name of that stone Ebenezer, because Ebenezer means thus far, this far, the Lord has helped us. That's what I want us to talk about this morning as we think about this matter of Mission Sunday. In 2 weeks from today, we'll have that special contribution in relationship to Mission Sunday, and we introduce this part of the preliminary lessons leading up to Mission Sunday by saying, we need to stop and do what Samuel called the people to do. Look at what God has done for us. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. And you and I need to recognize that in reference to Mission Sunday, every dollar that is given on Mission Sunday will go for mission work. We started this 12 years ago, when the elders decided, and instead of running the church on a 52-week budget, they'd run it on a 51-week budget and pay for all the bills and the other things that are involved in what we're doing, and set aside one Sunday to give to mission work, saying to this congregation, every dollar that you give will be used for mission work, every single dollar. And 12 years ago that happened. That was in the year 2004. And for 11 years, 12 years inclusively counting the year 4 and the year 15, we have given Last year on that Sunday, we gave $126,000, almost $126,500. Of that, all of that money has been committed by the elders to do mission work. And over these years, we have averaged $117,500 and change dollars per Sunday, on that mission Sunday. Which means that in the 12 years of Mission Sunday, this church has given $1.4 million to save a lost world. Brother and sister in Christ, let us raise our Ebenezer spiritually and say, thus far the Lord has helped us. Who would have ever dreamed that this church would be able to do that? And when I talk about this church and talk about the great things that's happened here, I want you to know it's not any glory and honor to us, but all the glory goes to Jesus Christ. But the Lord has blessed us and enabled us to give almost $1.5 million to see that the lost world hears the gospel and that the lost world learns about Christ and about the cross. Let us raise our Ebenezer and look backwards this day and say, let's look back to what's happened since the year 2004. Let's look and see how far the Lord has helped us, and may we give praise to God in our hearts as we rehearse some of the things that has happened. In the distant past, and this is so distant, many of you who are too young will not remember any of this. And those who are new members may not remember of the fact that at one time we had that daily radio program that had a potential audience of 2 million people. I want you to think about that. Every time I drive up the turnpike and I arrive at that sign that says Okeechobee County, I thought, we've preached the gospel up here. We have preached the gospel to Okeechobee, and we preached it to Martin County, and we preached it to Palm Beach County, and that same radio program reached over into the end of the Bahamas. It was in connection with the church at Stewart. But on the Friday of every week, we'd answer Bible questions. It was an hour program, and people all over the Tri-County area, counting those that are north of us instead of those that are south of us, they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where did that come from? That money came from Mission Sunday. There was that television program that we tried to put on one of the newer stations in Fort Pierce when it first began to operate. It reached a potential audience of 3,000 homes. And then in 2006 and 2007, we had 15-minute ads on the television program. And over and over and over again, those ads were repeated that talked about this church. I'll never forget some of those ads. One of them showed that little pew packers class where I asked some of you who built the ark. And you spoke up and you answered that very question. And people saw that very ad as knowing that this church was interested in young people. I remember when Quintel was used as a guinea pig. I don't know if that's a way to describe somebody being baptized. But we had that ad showing Quintel being baptized here. And in that ad, 15-second ad, the ad said, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you been baptized? And the whole design of those ads, specially made, that were so attractive to others. The Lord helped us to have those there. And then we did that special mail out, not the heart-to-heart, but one that preceded that. A brochure that was designed, and in 2007 we sent out 50,000 of those. And then think about the Spanish work that was a part of Mission Sunday and enabled us up until just a few years ago to have a Hispanic work in this very building, because most of the members live down in the southern part of the county. They're now meeting down in their own place, down in that part of the county. And yet that all started because the Lord helped us. Here we raise our Ebenezer. Thus far the Lord has helped us. But look not just in the distant past, but look at things that are happening in the present, in the ongoing local work things that are happening. and how we ought to thank God for the fact that that for the 12 years we have mailed out that heart-to-heart magazine that many of you are a part of and putting the labels on once every other month whenever those brochures come in to be labeled. We have given to Palm Beach County 980,000 tracts. Not just some little fold-over tract, but that attractive. Is it a 16-page a thing that is mailed out to every person? Maybe it's 8 pages. Mailed out to every person in Palm Beach County. Large, beautiful thing to be mailed out. And we've mailed out nearly 1 million tracts to people in Palm Beach County. Where'd that come from? It's our Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Who would have ever dreamed when we talked about Mission Sunday that we would be able for Mission Sunday to touch a million homes in this county, nearly a million homes in this county. And then the matter of the senior high trips. We have these every year, and the funds for that comes out of Mission Sunday. And we've gone to 16 congregations in 10 states with over 50 of our teens going out, being involved in teaching the gospel to children and teaching in vacation Bible schools and helping in every way they possibly can. Young people, we're thankful for you. And those of you who used to be young, we're thankful for you. Those who were 15 years of age or 13 years of age or 15 years of age 12 years ago are now almost middle age. And we're thankful that you were able to go out and represent this church. Delton, middle age is 35. If you live to be 70, at 35 you're midway, all right? Don't look at me that way, okay? No, he wasn't looking bad. But aren't you thankful for that? And I'm thankful this year, God willing, we'll send a mission team out to do mission work. And then there is that outreach down of the visibility of this building where over 500,000 people a day drive down I-95 and see our building and see the signs that are on the side of our building, at least until those trees started growing up in front of it. But still, there's the visibility of this building. How did that happen? Thus far, the Lord has blessed us. How thankful we ought to be for that. And then those car magnets that are on many of your cars. Are you aware we gained 4 new members just from people seeing those magnets on your car? Isn't that remarkable? And then all of the tracks and the host of tracks that are available in the track racks that are here. Aren't you thankful? Thus far, the Lord has blessed us. And then in some very specific ways, God has blessed us. Are you aware that from this mission work that we've done from this congregation, that we have been part of supporting 13 full-time missionaries? I want you to hear that. 13 full-time missionaries in 26 countries and on 4 continents. Who would have ever dreamed this band of people here this day would be able to say, God help us, and God has helped us, and thus far, the Lord has helped us. They are the names of all of those individuals that we have helped and that we are helping. And then as we think about specific works, think about the dozens of mission trips, not just those that our teens go on, but that the adult groups from Palm Beach Lakes go on. From this congregation, we've gone to 25 countries and 6 continents. How remarkable that is. They've gone to the Bahamas, to Paraguay, to Peru, to Trinidad. And then there are those college mission students who go off and go on special mission trips, and they say, can Palm Beach Lakes help us go? And even this year, we've had one request from one of our young people in a Christian college says, I want to go. And the money's already there to give to him so that he'll be able to do that mission trip. Imagine God blessing us. Let us raise our Ebenezer. Thus far, God has taken this body of people that assemble here every week, and God has used us. You want to talk about some more real special mission work? What about what's happened in Paraguay? Even the year before we started Mission Sunday, we were a part of supporting Chris Fry. Grew up in this very congregation, and what a debt we owe to Tim and Beth for rearing that kind of son. So when he goes down to Paraguay with that mission team to start that mission work, Chris and Vicki go down there, and they stayed there from 2003 to 2011. That's some 8 years. And all 8 of those years, this church was a part of helping begin that work in Asuncion, in Paraguay. How did that happen? Let us raise our Ebenezer and let us understand, look how far the Lord has helped us and how special close we feel to that work in Asuncion. Because you see, after Chris returns and even before he returned, Josh and Carol went down with at least one child. Did you have both of them, Carol? I don't know if you had both of them or not. With the two children to go down to carry on that work in Asuncion. And look at all the great things that's happened there. And Josh, publicly to you and to Kara and to two other special people, and that's Vivian and Josiah, we thank you for giving up your homeland. We thank you for the sacrifices that we made and that your parents have made and your grandparents have made. You got to understand that whereas many of us are able to go see our grandchildren, several times in a year, or perhaps at least once a year, missionary grandchildren are not seen. And Connie and Tim, we thank you for the sacrifices that you made even before you were a part of the work that we're trying to do in this place. And they were there for 5 years, and now they're back working among us. And we are so thankful that Josh and Kara and the kids are here working and for all that they do. And shortly after, Josh and Kara went down to Asuncion, Troy and Andrea, who are so much a part of this church. They were always here worshiping God with us. And so when the time came for Troy to have further training and go to a Bible college, we helped support him. And then when he went on down to Paraguay, we are still supporting him. And they've been there shortly after Josh and Kara went. And they'll continue to be there at least until the year 2017. How did this happen? Let us raise our Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Who would have ever dreamed that a congregation of this size would be able to impact the world like this congregation has? We've mentioned Easter Island. We'll talk more about this next week. But who would have ever dreamed that the most remote island on this earth, the most remote place people live on this earth, this congregation would be part of the evangelizing of that place? Josh, while he was in Paraguay and continues even now, has made trips to the Easter Island. It's 2,000 miles from the nearest land. No need to get to decide, well, I think I'll just swim to the nearest nation. It's 2,000 miles away. Cannot do it. It is so remote that at one time they only had one boat that came one time a year to the Easter Island to bring whatever supplies they needed there. Thank God for airplanes, but thank God for the fact that this allows us to carry that gospel, and the first converts were made in April of 2 years ago, and now we have Piki and Uri, a mother and her adult son, who this very day, down on the Easter Island, have assembled to worship God today. Why? Because of Palm Beach Lakes, but no glory to us, but let us raise our Ebenezer and thank God that we said to God, God, here we are as a church. Use us every way that you can. And God has allowed us to continue to help that church. There are ongoing plans for Josh to go back and to continue to help that church become a larger church, and hopefully someday to be a fully self-supporting church and capable of carrying on all of its work. Can we just look back last year, the year 2015? What happened in this year that just concluded? Why should we raise our Ebenezer? In addition to all of these ongoing things that we've been talking about in the previous minutes, go back and look at the year 2015. Look at the things that transpired. They've started down in Ascension a training class to train church leaders. It's called the Ascension Bible Academy. And already, one group of students have come through and have graduated from that two-year program. That's a full-time school, learning the Bible and learning how to study the Bible, learning how to teach others the Bible. And thank God for the fact that that is a reality. But are you aware that this church supported one of the students that was down there in that very school? And that very school will be a church leader and is a church leader and will continue to be a church leader who knows for how many years. Where'd all of that training come from? Let us raise our Ebenezer and thank God that it has come from this body of people that's assembled here this day. Then in this past year, 16 members of Palm Beach Lakes were sent down on a mission trip so that they could firsthand see the things that are transpiring down in Ascension. Where did that money come from? Well, some of the funds they raised themselves or provided for themselves, but they were supplemented by Mission Sunday money. We don't want to just give tickets out to anybody who wants to go. Let's have a vacation to Paraguay. That's not what it's all about. But they went down and gave of themselves and even their own monies and their time and their energy. Where did that come from? Let us raise our Ebenezer. And thank God that thus far He has helped us. And then the senior high students this year went to Whiteland, Indiana to help in that vacation Bible school. And that, by the way, is where Allison Price Simon, you might know her better by, but we know her by the name Allison Price. And our teens, six of our teens, along with Josh, went to that very place and represented not just Palm Beach Lakes, but represented what Christian young people ought to be. We impacted the lives of those children. Teens, we really mean it when we say we love you guys. And we're going to invest all of our energies every way that we can to help you grow. And we say to the parents of teens, these children belong to you. We're going to do our part. We call on every parent to raise up teens that will be able to be the kinds of people that can represent not Palm Beach Lakes, but represent Jesus Christ in the mission trips. How did this happen? Let us raise our Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has made it possible. And then also consider the fact that the Lord has blessed us in so many ways to allow us. And one way that we do not see in this building much at all, but that is the quality of our video production and the things that are involved in that. If you were to look at our program a year ago and compare to the program a year ago, it's impossible to believe the difference. So we have new cameras, and what we have back there is the device that Scott is operating this morning. That is not just video equipment, but something that is HD, the top of the line kind of broadcast. And if you were able to look on your phone and pick up one of those sermons that is from 2 years ago, and then on your smartphone, if you've got a real good smartphone that has real quality, and put beside that something that is now being broadcast, and look at the clarity of the message and the clarity of the words that are on the screen. It is remarkable. Why? Because people out in the world are in this technological age and our lessons are broadcast. We have members of this church right now who are bedfast or who are house fast, and they're right this very minute watching this very program, and people around the world. And as there is snow and stormy weather up north, You'd be amazed how many people say, we were snowed in this morning and we were able to worship with Palm Beach Lakes and how great and how wonderful that is. And they get messages that say, I've watched all of the sermons that you have and there are over 500 sermons that are available. How we ought to thank God that God has helped us to be, as it were, on the cutting edge. How did this happen? Let us raise our Ebenezer. For thus far the Lord has blessed us. He's helped us. That's what Mission Sunday is all about. And how wonderful it is to take the time this morning and to look back at what's happened with all of this money that has come from this congregation that says to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are serious about this. We could have taken that money and built us a gymnasium and had the envy of anybody's gymnasium anybody wanted to have. We could have built all kinds of things in this building. We're thankful to God for this building. But I am thankful for an eldership and for a leadership in this congregation that says Christ died and He came into this world for one purpose. And that is so that all men might hear the story of the cross. And this church has given nearly $1.5 million. How did all of that come about? Let us raise our Ebenezer. For thus far, the Lord has blessed us. Amen and amen. It's not us. It's not glory to any of us. But it is the sacrificial heart of people in this congregation. It's not that somebody in that $120,000 said, I'll give $50,000 for it. It comes from people sacrificing. And we'll be called on next week as we talk about what are we going to do in 2016. God has blessed us. And if God will continue to bless us, and if we will have that sacrificial heart that says, Christ came that the world might be saved, and He left the church behind, and as members of the church, as members of the body of Christ, as the church of Christ, we are concerned that the world might be saved. For thus far, the Lord has blessed us. But you want to look to the future? Thus far looks backward. Samuel said, look at all that's happened in relation to the Ark of the Covenant. But when he says thus far, there's an implication of the things that are in the future. Let us raise our Ebenezer with hope and an understanding with a heart of faith that it is not just thus far the Lord has brought us, but thus forward the Lord will help us. And that may be misspelled, but that's on purpose. We cannot rest on the things that are behind. Paul says, forgetting the things that are behind, I press on, because there is the calling of the high prize that God has awaiting us. So next Sunday, we'll talk some more about Mission Sunday. And the Sunday after that, the last Sunday of this month, every dollar given on that Sunday will be added to the $1.4 million that has been given. And may God help us. What can you do? That's between you and God. But there are individuals who right now are planning to sacrificially give. Not to just think, well, I think that's a pretty good thing. I'll give to it, sort of like I give to some needy program that comes up. Some appeal on the radio for, give me $19. I wonder why it's not $20. $19 a month to help the vets, and $19 a month to feed the Jews, and $19 a month. That's advertising. We're not talking about advertising. But if our hearts are touched whenever we hear of the needs of others in other places, cannot we hear the cry that comes from the world? Come over into our Macedonia and help us. Paul was at Troas, and in a vision he saw a man of Macedonia that says, come over to Macedonia and help us. And as you think about your giving 2 weeks from this very day, may we hear a cry that resounds from the most remote place on earth to the most populous city there is on earth, where the souls of men, some of them not even knowing their own needs, there is a longing within the hearts of the lost world that says, come and help me understand life and help me go to heaven. Let us raise our Ebenezer for what's happened in the past. But let us raise our eyes and look onto the fields that are white and unto harvest, and let us look not to the past, where we say, thus far the Lord has helped us, but look to the future and say, thus forward, from this very place, God will help us. Thank God for every member at Palm Beach Lakes. And now we come to that part of the service where we offer an opportunity for people to become Christians, like they did in Bible times, to become a part of a congregation of people who's not out just to make some notoriety picture and image on this earth, and not out to build something that's socially attractive, where religion becomes almost like where a church becomes almost like a religious country club that offers every secular thing there is imaginable. Oh no. Like the church in the first century who gave and gave and gave in order that the cause of Christ might go. Why did they give? We love Him because He first loved us. Do you believe He loves you? You believe in Jesus? You believe He died for you? Then would you not this very day repent, make up your mind, and make that decision? I am going to become a Christian. At the beginning of this year, I'm going to forget about everything that's ever happened in the past, every disappointment I might have ever had or every decision I might have had. I'm going to make the decision at the beginning of this year. That decision is repentance, a change of mind that represents the change of heart that will be seen in the rest of your life, in the change in your life. And when you let us know that you believe in Jesus, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, then you can be immersed, baptized into the body, baptized into the church. That's what 1 Corinthians 12:13. What church is that? It's Jesus' church. If you'll do that, God will add you to that church. Your name will be written in heaven. And on the day of judgment, your name having been written in that book can stand before God and hear the Lord say, come, ye blessed of my Father. Is your name written there? Why don't you obey the gospel so it will be written there this very day? Then having done that, He says to those of us who've done that, don't you give up. You be full of faith until you die. Are there changes you need to make in your life? How can this church help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing? Will you come?